Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. Hopefully everybody's having a good day today. Good to be back. Another day, another week. Hope everybody's had a productive week so far. And hope everybody's living the life they want to live. If not, you got to figure out how to chime back into it. Figure out what your passion is. Figure out what you love to do. And just do a little bit of that every day, a little bit every week, until you get where you want to be. Today's topic, I'm going to jump right into it because we don't have much time, is death. And death is a taboo word. A lot of us don't like to talk about it. A lot of us don't like to recognize it. But it's real. And when I look at death in and of itself, for some people it could be a relief. For some families it could be a relief. For some other people it could be heartache. It could be tragedy. It could be many different factors that bring on death. And most of us know that someday we're going to die. But I think that the biggest thing is what takes us out that makes it tragic, that makes it hard, and how we die. And one of the things that has really been on my mind, just because it's been right in front of my face, is how many people dying at such a young age. These are people that I know personally, stories that I've seen. Of course, you have a lot of people posting different things on Facebook when family members die and children die, and it's just heartbreaking. And I look into, you know, a couple of things to try to understand our generation and the generations behind us are dying younger and younger. And why are we dying younger and younger is, I think, a question that may know the answer to, or not enough of us know the answer to. But either way, we have to look at what are we doing about it. And when we talk about kids dying and people dying so much younger, especially of things that our grandparents used to die of or our parents may have passed away from, it kind of boggles the mind. And so, I mean, I look at my mother, for instance. My mother died at the age of 57. Complications of cancer and surgery. Her sister died at 55 of a stroke. And then they had another sister die at 56 of a massive heart attack. And this was years ago. My mom died in 2011. And people would say, man, she died so young. Her sisters died so young. My grandmother, my paternal grandmother, my father's mother, died in her 50s. Complications of diabetes. And they talk about how young that was to die. And now, it's almost like the new normal is people dying in their 30s and 40s and kids dying, you know, 8, 9, 10 years old. And that's the new normal, it seems. No longer is 70, 60, 50 a young age to die, becoming in the 30s. 20s. And so I started looking at that, and it really bothered me. And just to have a couple friends and people that I know from home and grew up with, three of them specifically, just passed away within a month. And one was cancer, one was complications of cancer, one was some kind of all three were cancer, believe it or not, different types of cancer. And so we really got to look at what's going on. And the fact that nobody in their 60s and 70s, you hear much anymore, dying of cancer. It's young people. And I'm not going to just use cancer as the main one. I'm going to look at health in general and how we arrive at this place. And one reason is because we rely on the medical system too much. We allow them to tell us that things are hereditary when they're not. Heredity is not, diseases don't transfer through your genes. So if a doctor says, oh, you have high blood pressure, or you're going to get diabetes, or you're going to get breast cancer because your mother had it, that's not true. Heredity doesn't transfer through genes. Eye color, pigment of your hair, height, those different things transfer through genes, but not diseases. So when we talk about things being hereditary, they've done that and perpetrated that on us so that we kind of give up. Because if we feel something is hereditary, we think, oh, it's nothing we can do about it anyway, so what's the point in me trying? Let's just go ahead and take this pill or have this surgery or take this procedure, and then we'll be fine. We'll just manage this illness forever. But one of the things that I know, a study that was done about a few years back was talking about heredity and is high blood pressure hereditary. And when the reason we looked at that in that study was because they said that African Americans suffer from the highest rate of high blood pressure. And so when they went back and they looked at it, and they took these men in Chicago and they took their blood pressure and found out that yes, these guys did have somewhat high blood pressure, but then they went back to where they came from. In places in Africa, they did a DNA test to find out where they came from, and they went back and they took the blood pressure of those people in those particular places and realized that they had the lowest rates of blood pressure and the lowest instances of high blood pressure. So it can't be hereditary, because no matter where you go on the map, if it's within your bloodline, it should be there. So we understand that it's not hereditary. It's about habit, bad habits or different types of habits, and about how much nutrition you're really taking. And so when we look at things, when somebody tells us something is hereditary, especially in the medical system, we need to go and look at it much harder. And just because your parents had a particular illness doesn't mean that you're going to get it. Now, the other part about that is the overabuse of drugs, prescription drugs. We will take a prescription drug every day. We have to have it. And we tend to have side effects that affect us in a more adverse level than the actual problem that we have. And you tell your doctor, and the doctor says, well, the benefit of you taking this drug outweighs the side effects. But then the side effects start to get so bad that they then prescribe you another drug for those particular side effects. And so then when you start to look at the issue of health and the decline in your health, it's a lot of times because of these particular drugs and side effects, or you're not taking the particular drug because you feel like you don't need it. And granted, drugs do suppress your symptoms, fix a problem, but they do suppress your symptoms. And so if you have a bad symptom or it's out of control and you don't take the drug, then that symptom just runs rampant. So it's kind of a catch-22. But if you understand that the body wants to heal itself and you figure out what you need to give it the raw materials to heal itself, meaning what vitamins, what minerals, what amino acids, what fatty acids the body needs to heal itself, then you can start to make those changes. Another thing when we talk about death and why we're dying so young, of course, is our diet. And with our diet, it's become a big issue because what choices we have on the market, meaning what we go to the grocery store and get, is not healthy for us. And the crazy thing is, I see, like, I used to do it a lot, but I see people couponing, and I see, which is, I think is great. I see people doing, you know, finding bargains and going places. But you got to notice the things that they have the coupons for, most of it's unhealthy stuff, whether it be the shampoos, the toothpaste, the detergents, the food. A lot of it's processed. Very rarely do you get a coupon for fresh produce or vegetables. They give you the ones for the frozen food vegetables, which a lot of those can be genetically modified, but fresh food, fresh vegetables. When I go to Whole Foods or Trader Joe's, there's not too many coupons for places like that. Why? But you're getting fresher food, you're getting real food. And because a lot of us, all of us, really, we live on a budget and we have to be careful, we get the most biggest bang for our buck, whether it be the value meal or whether it be buying 17 of the same thing because you can get it for $2 or $3, whether it be boxes of cereal or what have you. And so within that process, we feel like we've done something, but we don't take that extra time to look at our diet and say, you know what, this is really not good for me. And because they're giving it away, that's just their way of aiding in the destruction of our health, because they're giving the food away. They don't need the food. They make plenty of money off of the food. All the people that don't coupon are paying full price. And so they're giving us stuff that's going to, in the end result, make us sicker. And we have to understand that there's a place called FDA within the government or an agent, and that's the Food and Drug Administration. And so when you think about the Food and Drug Administration, they have the foods that we eat and the drugs that come out of some of those foods because of the side effects that we're going to get. And in that particular process, they're setting us up for failure. And most of us take it hook, line, and sinker. And so because we get something for cheap and we can boast about it, read the label and see how healthy it is for you. And just hope that you don't feed your children all of that stuff. Because when we look at cancer and the rate of cancer, a lot of it is coming from the foods that we eat, the processed foods that we eat, the things that we bombard our body with, the fact that we don't take very little nutrition. One, either because doctors say we don't need it, or two, because we think it's too expensive. But one thing for sure, and two things for certain, you're not going to get all the nutrients you need from the food that you eat. Even fresh fruits and vegetables don't have the minerals in them that they should have, because the minerals aren't in the soil. So if the minerals aren't in the soil, it's not in your food. So therefore, that apple or that orange or whatever it is that we used to eat earlier in life doesn't pack the same amount of nutrients. So because of that, you have to take extra to get all your nutrition. It's just one of the things you have to do. And one of the things with cancer, because that's something that has been ravaging, I think, my city in Annapolis, Maryland, when I see the people who have passed away from these different types of cancers and issues with cancer, is the fact that our bodies are so acidic. Cancer cells only survive in an acidic state. And your pH is what we'll talk about when we talk about acidity. So balance is right around 7.4. So anywhere around 7 or below, your body's acidic. They talk about pH balance, like that secret commercial for women. It's pH balance, pH balance. Well, your balance, your pH has to be a little more alkaline. The only place the pH in your body should be acidic is in your stomach, because when you digest your food, the acidity and your stomach acid is what's used to break that food down to the smallest amino acids, fatty acids, to break those carbon chains, to take the food and break it down so that it's digestible. But not only that, the nutrients that are in it are absorbable. And because so many of us suffer from digestive disorders for several reasons, one, gluten intolerance is a big one. And when you're gluten intolerant, that's in your small intestine. And so you cannot absorb nutrition when you're gluten intolerant. And so therefore, you might be vitamin D3 deficient, and you might take vitamin D3, or you might eat foods that are heavy in vitamin D3. But the fact of the matter if you're gluten intolerant because you're eating the breads and the pastas and all of those things on top of it, and your doctor will tell you to eat a balanced diet and eat whole grain, and whole grain is gluten, and you're gluten intolerant, and you're still trying to eat healthy along with that gluten intolerance, you're not absorbing any of your nutrition, so you tend to just get sicker and sicker, and your issues tend to get worse and worse. And then we get to a point where we have to rely on the system, whether it be drugs or surgery. Our immune systems are taxed because we're not taking care of our bodies in the sense of giving it antioxidants. Eating things like blueberries and strawberries and things that are high in antioxidants, but also we cannot eat enough strawberries and blueberries to get the antioxidants we need. So taking vitamins like minerals like selenium, which is super cheap to get, increase your antioxidant level so that your body can fight off the free radicals. Drinking juices that are high in antioxidant but low in sugar. Fruits and vegetables, the same thing. Eating fruits and vegetables that are high in antioxidants. And one thing we have to realize is that we need to put more of that in our diet than the processed foods in our diet, which is one of the reasons why, one, we suffer so bad, but two, we don't ever really get healthy because we're losing the battle inside of our bodies. We're putting more bad stuff in than we're putting in good stuff. And you can't be neutral with that. You can't just have bad stuff and have good stuff, or say, I just want comfort food today, and then you go a couple of weeks and then you have something healthy. You have to be healthy all the time, and then every now and again add something that you truly want that may not be necessarily good for you. But it can't be a close ratio. It can't be a 1-to-1 ratio. It can't be a 2-to-1 ratio. It's got to be like a 100-to-1 ratio. You got to take care of your body every single day because your heartbeat shows up for you every day, 24 hours a day. Your mind is working 24 hours a day. Your body is working for you 24 hours a day, and the best we do is give it whatever we can give it, whatever's cheap, whatever tastes good, and that's killing us. We treat our cars better than we treat our body. We will at least go wash our car. We will at least go clean the inside of our car. But we don't do that for our bodies. We will change the oil, but we don't do that for our bodies. Every now and again, we'll get a tune-up, but we don't do that for our bodies. And that body is a well-oiled machine, and it runs great when it's running. But we can't expect to just be able to drop in anything and be able to process it and say, okay, there's good things within it. And because we say a prayer or what have you and ask to take the impurities out of it and let it nourish our bodies, if there's nothing to nourish your body, it's not going to nourish your body. We know that. Nothing's going to happen just by happenstance. You got to do the right thing. And so when we look at a lot of the illnesses and diseases, and then you look at the diets of the people who have these illnesses and diseases, a lot of times they're parallel. The better your diet, the better your health. The worse your diet, the worse your health. And in some cases, there are some exceptions, but for the most part, it's about the same. And then on top of that, we get ill, and everybody's looking for a miracle. The miracle was already given to us. When we were put here, everything was put here for us to be able to live, to be able to be healthy, to be able to eat, to be able to have a choice to make the right decision. That's the miracle. The miracle is that we have a choice to do the right thing. Animals only know how to do what they know how to do. They don't have a choice. Or I'm not going to eat today, or I'm going to eat something unhealthy today. No, they eat the same thing every single day, day after day after day after day. They cannot think any different. The miracle of choice is an amazing thing because we can make a choice to abuse ourselves, or we can make a choice to do the right thing. We can make a choice to put ourselves in situations that we know are bad for us, or we can make choices to put ourselves in good situations. And do we always make the right decision? No, we don't. But the fact of the matter is we had a choice. And exercising that choice for what it is, especially when it involves your life, should be something we do because it'll save our lives. And then the last part, when we talk about the death is we blame the illness instead of taking the time to understand what the illness is and how to prevent it, how to go about it. And that's really the best medicine. We lose people so young, children, 7, 8 years old, adults in their 20s and 30s. And we have to look at the fact that they started out with very little nutrition. When we look at the system, I'm talking about the sick care system or the food system, and we look at it from the inception of birth, the parent during pregnancy may take very little nutrition. If they do take nutrition, they take a prenatal vitamin. And in that prenatal vitamin is some of the nutrition that the child needs, but they will normally take 2 or 3 prenatal vitamins from the time that they get pregnant to the time that they have the baby. And if you understand vitamins and nutrition, you should be taking them based on body weight. So if you are on a prenatal vitamin or you are taking nutrition and you are pregnant, you need to look at your weight and find out what that dosage is for. It may be for 100 pounds. So it may say take 2 of these, but those 2 may be for 100 pounds of body weight. And so if you are started out at 100 pounds and every time you get a little bit bigger, you need to increase your dosage. Why? Because you have a child that's growing inside of you who's robbing you of all the nutrients that you have, and the bigger they get, the more nutrients they need, just like us as people. The older we get, the bigger we get, the more food we eat. So it's the same thing. So we need to make sure that we're putting the right nutrients in our bodies. And you can tell most mothers are really, really nutrient deficient because of the cravings they have. And cravings are only your body's way of asking you for certain nutrients. It can't say I need calcium. It can't say I need iron. It can't say I need vitamin D3. It just says I'm hungry. And a lot of times based on that hunger is what cravings you have and why you crave certain foods, because that's the way your body says, I'm hungry, I'm craving, I'm hungry for this vitamin and mineral, so go eat. Things that we eat tend to be unhealthy for us. So you're already in a deficit. And then the child is born without all the nutrients it needs. And so we put it on breast milk, which is great, but the breast milk is only as good as the amount of nutrients the mom has in her body. There are antibodies and things in there that are healthy, but the nutrient level is only as good as the mother has. She can't give you what she doesn't have. Or you put the baby on formula, and when you look at the three formulas, Similac, Gerber, Enfamil, those formulas only have 20% of the nutrition that a baby needs. So now this child is 6 months old almost and has only had about 20% of the nutrition it needs. And then we start to wean it off of food, off of breast milk or formula, and right around a year old we start to introduce food, or sometimes before that. And then the foods we introduce are French fries, are chicken. We give them chicken bones or chicken, and they eat off the chicken, fried chicken. We give them sugary juices. We water it down sometimes. Sometimes we don't, but we give them sugary things like apple juice. We will give them some fruit, or we'll buy those little over-the-counter snacks that appear to be healthy but don't have very much nutrients in them. We buy them baby food, which doesn't have any nutrition, very, very little nutrition in it. And that's why they don't like it. And what you could do is take fruits and vegetables, real fruits and vegetables, puree them, and feed them those. You don't have to buy jars of food. If you're eating healthy vegetables, you're going to Whole Foods, you're going to Trader Joe's, you're getting healthy fruits and vegetables, organic fruits and vegetables, but you feed your children jar food. Doesn't make sense. So you just chop up and break down the foods that you eat. Take the watermelon, break it down so the kid can eat it. Introduce them to different real foods, more vegetables than fruit. Because if they learn to eat more vegetables, their palate doesn't develop a sweet tooth or a sweet taste. So every time they have something sweet, if you feed them sweets all the time, when you go to give them fruits and vegetables, they truly don't like it because it's not palatable, because it's not something that they started out eating. And once those sensations get set, they're very hard to change. Even we know that. If you're not used to eating something, you have to go and eat it. It's like, oh, my God, I couldn't eat this every day. But the things you like a lot until it just wears you out and you can't eat it anymore because you're like, man, I used to eat this so much, I care less if I have it. But that takes a while to break out of that habit. And then so now you got a child that's 2 and 3 years old, and now they're eating McDonald's. They're eating French toast sticks for breakfast. They're eating Lunchables. They're eating things that are full of nitrates and nitrites, which are cancerous. They're eating things that are full of processed foods, full of chemicals, juices full of sugar, and you wonder why they can't sit and pay attention in class. They have no nutrition. They're high on sugar. ADD, ADHD is on the rise. But then you get these kids and they're 7, 8 years old, and we wonder why they have high blood pressure. We wonder why they have cancer, because all they've been getting is foods that are not good for them for 7 years, plus they didn't start out with enough nutrition, and so they become sick. And so when you see these 7, 8-year-olds with cancer, it's heartbreaking. Or they're born with this rare form of cancer. Why? Because the mom didn't have what she needed in her body to make sure that that didn't happen. And a lot of it is on the OBGYN. It's up to them to make sure that you have the healthy pregnancy. It's up to them to make sure that you do the things you need to do. But it's happening more and more, and they don't really care. They're still doctors. They don't get trained in nutrition. They don't understand that. And so a lot of it is, yes, we're out on our own, but there's a lot of resources. With the advent of the Internet and shows like this, there's no reason why we can't get the right information and the good information. A lot of people are going back to having their their children with a midwife as opposed to going to the hospital. I mean, there are a whole lot of different things that are going on that used to go on now because people are waking up and realizing that death is imminent and it's coming. The age of 20 and 10 and 30 years old is something to be said about that. So one of the things that the responsibility that we have is to find out the truth. Look at how you grew up. Look at what you were exposed to and find out, was that good for you? How did that work out for you? And you don't want to do the same thing to your children. It's not cute to have your children eating fast food all the time. It's not cute for your children to just have the things that they want because that's what they want. And we say, oh, well, they're not going to eat that. We don't do anything, and we hadn't done anything in the beginning to set that standard. And so we have to take stock in what we're doing and make sure that we're on a healthy level. The last thing I want to say is going to the doctor and getting a physical is extremely important. One, they will find out what's wrong with you. It's up to you how you treat it. So if you should go to the doctor, get your testing done, get your blood work done, and then take that information and say, okay, based on what I have here, what is it that I can do naturally to get myself on track? And this will just be one small way that we can prevent the breakdown of our bodies and the death of our bodies, which causes our families to suffer, our children to suffer. Why? Because we didn't take the time to learn and do the right thing. And a lot of times it's nobody's fault. It's only your fault once you have the information. So now that you know better, you have to do better. So I hope that this information brought some value to you. I hope that you got something from it. And if you ever need to reach out to me, you can call me at 919-599-0916. And as always, I dedicate this show to my mother, who helped me find my passion and fight for everyone who doesn't have a voice and who doesn't understand what it takes to live a healthy life, and to my good friend John Bryant, who was on a mission with me, and he walked it for as long as he could, and it's up to me to take over. And this is what I'm here to do. This is what I love to do, and hopefully I did something or said something today that brought value. And if you wouldn't mind sharing this video, Or if you have a question, feel free to call me or inbox me or comment. I will answer your question. But all being said, we just have to do better. We have to work harder, and we have to just pay more attention so that we don't continue to lose family members and friends at such a young age, because it shouldn't happen. And we can't depend on a system to help us in that space. The most we can do is get ourselves checked out. And once we know what we have going on, once we know what the problem is, then we have to say, okay, what is it naturally that I can do? And don't let the doctor scare you into making decisions that you're not educated about, because we feel like they have our best interests at heart, but as you can see, they don't, because we wouldn't be losing so many people at such a young age. So until next week, I hope everybody continues to have a productive week. I hope things go your way, and peace and love. Thank you. Make sure you share this video, because you never know who out there needs to hear this information. You never know what life you can save. Talk to you later.